Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us begin this evening worship service with the singing of Psalter 187, the stanzas 1 through 4. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy, turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer, thy servant bless. From Psalter 187, the four stanzas. scripture reading for this evening can be found in the book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 4. Zechariah 4, beginning at verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is waked out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord that run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stands by the Lord of the whole earth. That's for the reading of God's word. Let us try to seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. Almighty, eternal, all-knowing God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in thy adorable providence that we may gather together in the evening hour of this day round about thy word and holy testimony. Thou hast given that the doors of thy house could be opened again in this evening, or they were also opened in this afternoon, and thou knowest what all has taken place in this afternoon. But thou hast given, after 4 years of study, after that in a church orderly way the doors was opened also to be ordained into the ministry, that thou hast given that the hour could come that we could be under that opened word. And Lord, thou knowest what now lives in the heart of thy servant most perfectly. Thou knowest also what lives in the hearts of the congregation. Wilt thou then be in our midst in this evening? Oh, then we ask thee, if thou wilt bless us with thy blessings, because without thee we can do nothing. Lord, wilt thou then Give also in this evening hour what is needed. O thou hast given help to thy servant in this afternoon, that he could proclaim thy words. And Lord, wilt thou bless them that word in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the denomination. Oh, it was also a joyful occasion that it still may take place also in the time in which we live. Oh, thou hast not withdrawn thy hand all the way from us, but given that word still may go forth even in the darkness of the time in which we live. Thou would be righteous if thou would withdraw thy hand from us, if thou would give us over to ourselves, to the hardening of our hearts, but thou hast not done it yet. But Lord, what we don't need it in this afternoon, we need it also in this evening. Or wilt thou then come with the divine influences of thy Holy Spirit, or that we may be anointed by that Spirit, or thou may proclaim thy word in the midst of the congregation, or that also in this evening everything may go decently and in order. Oh, what is man, O Lord? Oh, then we so quickly want to come in between, but that man may fall away, and that thou wilt and may and shall receive all the honor and all the glory. And Lord, then in this first sermon, that we may lay before thee the congregation in all the cares, in all the needs, the widows and the widowers, those who have lost children, those who have lost loved ones, those who have to bear crosses, hidden crosses, those who are sick and afflicted, cannot come up to thy house of prayer. Then there are perhaps who wish that they could come under thy words, but cannot come. O wilt thou remember them, and if it is given that they may listen along by the way of the means, or that on thy word also may be blessed in their homes, or wherever they are. Lord, remember that all the consistory we may lay them before thee, the elders and the deacons. Or wilt thou then give that we also in the future may serve in the midst of the congregation, may stand shoulder to seek thy honor and the welfare of the congregation. Or that thy honor may be bound upon the hearts. Lord, remember, so in mercy, wilt thou guide us, wilt thou teach us, and wilt thou then be in the midst of us. Thou knowest who he is who must bring the word to this flock. Oh, then we have sang together about a poor and a needy people. And Lord, made it on such a people in our midst. But also thy servant cannot come above that. Then he must also say, a poor and a needy one who does not know how to preach and what to say to the congregation. But wilt thou then give the words in the mouth, the matters in the heart, and wilt thou then be a surprising God time and again. Lord, remember also thy servants who may be in our midst. O thou hast given that they could be in our midst in this day. O that is also a blessing that we may so sit together. O that we also may serve together in brotherhood. O thou knowest the need in the congregation, in the denomination. O and that we may lay it all before thee. Wilt thou give help, give strength, give courage. Special way we may lay also before thee our instructors, where they has been given to instruct so from time to time in the years past. For how for many years they have done it, but it has also come to an end where the school is now empty and they have no one to instruct. Lord, will thou give that in the future, the doors of the school may be opened again, that new ones may be admitted, converted by thee, sent by thee, called by thee, and so may begin in the theological school the studies, and then in thy time to be sent forth in the midst of the congregation and denomination. Lord, wilt thou gladden by thy deeds, but remember each one of our instructors, also in the climbing of the years, in the difficulties of life, or in the infirmities of life, wilt thou remember them, strengthen them, uphold them, and wilt thou not withdraw thy hand from them, also from him who cannot be in our midst, but had to undergo surgery in this day. Wilt thou also remember him in the evening of his life, and wilt thou bless him with thy blessings. Lord, remember also the office bearers which came from elsewhere. Or wilt thou also give them help and courage to continue, and that they may serve also in the strength given by thee. Remember also the catechism students, or then in a few months we hope to meet with them again. Wilt thou remember them? Wilt thou give them that they may come up to catechism class, that they may come up under thy word in all faithfulness, or that they will not leave their places empty? It is one of the means which thou hast given. Or wilt thou then incline their hearts? Wilt thou use the means? Wilt thou convert them unto thee? Wilt thou spoil them from the world, and that they may serve thee while they are still young? It's the best time to seek the Lord. Or wilt thou then give that an arrow may go out from the divine bow and may go into the hearts of enemies? Remember the older ones. Yeah, remember also the oldest in our midst. Perhaps cannot come up to thy house, but Lord, wilt thou then in the evening of life, when it becomes so difficult to bend the knees, or wilt thou bring them upon their knees, that they may learn to seek thee while it is yet time? Lord, wilt thou so be also with all the work which may be done in the midst of the congregation? Wilt thou give them that also in the months to come, in the year to come, if thou givest it, that work also may go forth, and that we may lay each one who has a task in the midst of the congregation before thee. Also, our Christian school, wilt thou bless also those labors. And Lord, wilt thou remember also our dear family. Ze zijn ook overgekomen vanuit Nederland om ook in ons midden te zijn. En anderen mogen meeluisteren. Mogen ze ook voor u neerleggen. Wil u ook voor ze zorgen, ook voor onze ouders. Wanneer ook de jaren gaan tellen, wanneer ze ook in de avond van het leven zijn, ze mogen het nog zien. Ze hebben het ook gezien in deze dag, wat heeft plaatsgevonden. Ze hebben het mogen horen op een afstand. Ah, wat moet het ook voor hen zijn? Wil u ze dan ook geven wat ze nodig hebben, samen met onze broers en zussen, zwagers en schoonzussen, onze familie, onze vrienden, ook in Nederland. Maar ook twee van uw knechten, welke in ons midden mogen zijn in deze dag. Vele jaren ook onder de prediking mogen verkeren van onze broeder dominee Beens. Maar ook wanneer we ook zo samen mochten opgroeien met dominee Middendorp. Ach, wil u ze ook zo gedenken in de gemeente waar u ze gesteld hebt. En wil u ze met uw zegen omringen. O Lord, in everything we are so dependent upon thee. And wilt thou then give in this evening. Ah, that we may experience something. Something of that Spirit. Something of the anointing of that Spirit. And that this evening may be to the honor and to the glory of thy most holy name. To the salvation of sinners. That new ones may be born in Zion. And that thy people also may receive a crumb from the master's table. Thy people who must say, although I am poor and needy, and that is what they often have to experience, poor and needy in themselves. But when they may say with the psalmist, yet the Lord thinketh of me, and that makes to become such a wonder in all their misery, then their heart goes out unto thee. May there be a word for them. Guide us into thy truth. Take everything away that stands in the way. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll continue with the singing of Psalter 428, stanza 2, 5, and 8. O let thy Spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed, to keep thy statutes so to be obeyed, that from all error I may be protected. I shall not be ashamed then or afraid when thy commandments I have e'er respected. From Psalter 428, stanzas 2, 5, and 8. dear congregation, and all of who are together here in this evening, consistory, brothers in the ministry, we read of a very special vision in the book of Ezekiel. It's not unknown unto us in chapter 37, where the prophet Ezekiel is brought by the hand of the Lord in a special place. We read there, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." We would say it was not such a desirable place to go for the prophet, to go to a place where you see nothing else than dry bones. What has taken place? Many people have died there. We're not buried, but we're just laying there on the ground. Those bones, no flesh was on it anymore. We're very dry. For a long time they have been there. And there the prophet was brought, and there he stood. And now we see him. By the hand of the Lord, he was brought there. And then he had to go around. He has to be in the midst of those dry bones. And then he received a commandment from the Lord. What did the Lord say to him? He says, "Prophesy now to these bones." Or the Lord had showed him those bones. And he said, "Now, these bones, can they live? Is it now still possible that they would become life in those bones?" The prophet did not begin to reason. Because when we begin to reason, then you say, it's impossible. How can those bones now ever live? He did not say that. But he said, "Thou knowest it." As it were, he left it in the hands of the Lord. Said, "Lord, thou art mighty to do so, but thou art free also in thy doings." And then the commandment came, "Now you have to prophesy, Ezekiel. Prophesy against these bones." And now we know what has taken place. There came a sound. All those bones came together. Flesh was laid upon those bones. Sinews were laid upon those bones. Skin was placed on it. And then we see, and all those, you would say, all those still bodies were there, but there was no life in it. But then again, the word of the Lord came to this prophet, has to prophesy again to the far winds of heaven. So then a spirit had to blow into it, breathe into it, had to breathe life into those carcasses. And then, what do we see? That spirit came into it, that spirit of life again. A very rich lesson lies in that prophecy. What is that lesson? Also for today. Or when God's servants are sent also to different congregations, then they have to do a task. But they are sent by that Spirit. If it is well, then the hand of the Lord is laid upon them, and he brought. What would have been a wonder, congregation, that also may be experienced also in this day, but also in the time to come. It was the hand of the Lord who led through all those years, but also has brought, so in the midst of the congregation. Here in that valley where he had to prophesy, they were all dead bones. How is now here in Lethbridge? Where do we come now? In what congregation are we placed? Are there also living members in the congregation of Lethbridge? You may believe that the Lord also has living members here in this part of his vineyard. But we must also fear, congregation, that many of us are still do not belong to that living church. Or what would it then be a wonder if that also may be for a reason to be sent to the congregation, that new ones may be born in Zion, or then to preach to the congregation, or then to be laid the words in the mouth, now to may say, thus saith the Lord, this is now the message which I have to bring from the Lord in the midst of you, and that it also may be used as a means in God's hand. To what end? That new ones may be born in Zion, or that they were made from dead alive, that they would raise up out of that sleep of death, and that they may become living members, or that Spirit of the Lord also may blow in the midst of us, which should be such a wonder, congregation. Now, you know also how we have come 13 years ago to in the midst of you. It was also in the Lord's providence that we have received a place in your midst. My dear wife had a place in the school, and I could work as cabinet maker. And so I thought to go my way just in quietness. But then the Lord has called to come out of that quietness, to serve in your midst as an elder. And so it was given for 7 years that I was in your midst, serving as an elder. And I thought, as also a way which I must go, was also good for me. No, I did not desire that office of shepherd and teacher. But then the Lord called, and I could not remain an elder in your midst. But the way needed to go to Grand Rapids, and so we were separated from the congregation, and we had to go a different direction. When we were in Grand Rapids, after a short time, we all know what has taken place. It was even impossible to return to come in the midst of you. So for almost 4 years, I have not been among you. It was not that my thoughts were not with you. Often I had to think of you. And even on Monday, if then the church news was sent to me, it was the first thing I needed to do, to read how is the congregation doing, not knowing that I would go and must go back to this congregation. But now that bond, what was given in the years past, was not broken. When then, at the end of those 4 years, also that call came from Lethbridge, that was done in my heart, Lord, what is now the way that I should go? Oh, then that Psalm 25 that was so bound upon me. What is now the way? Teach me, Lord, the way that I should go. Oh, maybe also that I may see it, not only see it, but that I also may be made willing to go that way. And then the Lord, in his providence, has bound also you again upon the heart of my heart. And then there is only one congregation which is left. And so I may be in your midst again. So in the morning, in the afternoon hour of this day, we have seen it. And so under that open Bible, and to be there, O congregation, now you have received one who cannot do it in his own strength. But what I do, then I ask you, may I then also do, like God is asked you in this afternoon, that you are much upon your knees, may receive a word to speak, that may receive also the words in the mouth, that I may say also to you, this is the way, walk ye now in it, this is the way, which the Lord converted his people. This is now the way which is so necessary for each one of us, because we cannot go with a maybe, or maybe not with a good feeling. We cannot go because as a good churchgoer, a wonder needs to take place in your life. We need to be made alive. We have so clearly seen that in that chapter of in Ezekiel, congregation, that is now so necessary. And what now the prophets saw in that chapter, then he saw that special vision. Now tonight, in the inaugural service, I would like also to speak for a few moments about a vision. And that vision can be found in the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 4, and then verse 6 as our text, but also in its context. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We'd like to write underneath this text by way of a theme, a comforting vision regarding the church. And to consider this in two thoughts. First, the preservation of the church. In the second place, an encouragement to the church. So, a comforting vision regarding the church. First, the preservation of the church. We see that especially in those first verses about the golden candlestick and how they were maintained, preserved. What is now the meaning of that? I'd like to say that in a few words. Also in the second place, the encouragement to the church. Because now we read in our text so clearly, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then an enkel word in de Hollandse taal. We willen spreken voor Zacharia, hoofdstuk 4, vers 6. Niet, nog bij power, might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. En dan zien we daar een troostrijke visioen betreffende de kerk. En dan in twee gedachten wil ik het overdenken. De onderhouding van de kerk en in de tweede plaats een bemoediging voor de kerk. Want we zien dat zo duidelijk als in die eerste gedachte dan, die onderhouding van de kerk. In het begin van dit hoofdstuk is zo gesproken over die gouden kandelaar die gezien wordt. En waar ziet die gouden kandelaar op? Dat is toch ook die kerk. In een brief aan de openbaringen. Of de openbaringen van Johannes, daar ziet Johannes dat de Heere zelf wandelt in het midden van de gouden kandelaren. In die 7 gouden kandelaren, zo dat is zijn kerk waar hij komt te wandelen. En waar hij ook zijn kerk komt te onderhouden. En waar die kerk ook licht mag voortbrengen. Maar dan ook in de tweede gedachte, een bemoediging voor de kerk. Want hoe kan nu die kerk staan bij zichzelf? Bij zichzelf kan die niet staan. Geliefde, als de kerk was overgegeven een moment toe zichzelf, dan was het verloren. Maar nu komt de Heere zelf die kerk te onderhouden. En hoe komt hij nu die kerk te onderhouden? Ook met dat olie des geestes. Maar dan zegt hij in de tekst, Niet bij de kracht van de mens. Niet bij die geweld van de mens. Nee. Maar bij mijn geest zal het geschieden. Zo, het is die geest die werkt. En wat dat doet de Heer dan? Dan komt hij nu al die grote bergen weg te nemen. Dan zegt hij ook in vers 7. Oh, dan ziet hij op naar die grote berg. En zegt hij, hoe moet ik daar nog ooit overheen zien? Hoe moet het nog ooit vlak worden? Ik zal het doen. Het is enkel alleen genade als de Heere dat doet. Geliefde, een rich chapter lies in front of us. In the first verse we read where the angel again comes to the prophet Zechariah. In our thoughts we see it taking place. It was the fourth time that the angel came to Zechariah. And he awaked him. Who was now this angel? Who was now the one who was showing this to the prophet? When we read the marginal notes of our Dutch Starter Bible, then it says clearly, this is Christ the Lord, who is the supreme head of all the angels. So it is the Lord Jesus himself who comes and instructs this prophet. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me. And then in this fourth vision, then we see the Zechariah, the prophet, how he was falling asleep again. Oh, he has seen four times that vision. And those meetings with the angel, as it were, his body could not bear it. Do we understand that a little? I was thinking about those visits from the Lord. If the Lord comes in man's life, if the Lord comes to instruct man, if he comes with his divine influences, I do not speak now about an encouragement, what the Lord also can give from time to time. When the Lord does that, maybe when we read God's word, then the Lord can give those encouragements in the heart. But when the Lord now comes with a special visit, it's different. Often something takes place before that, I must say always. When the Lord brings in a need, and when the Lord comes and brings that visit, can be in the need of life, or when come to the end of our life, wherein everything becomes lost on our side. Say, Lord, how must now ever go further? Cannot see the way out anymore. Or when the Lord comes, even for his justice. But then when the Lord then gives an opening in Christ, brings a visit from on high. Or when then the Lord comes, or then that does something also with your body. Those who have experienced that know what I'm saying. Or that can, then can it be what we also read from the prophet Daniel. When we read of him, when he has received a visit from the Lord, then Daniel says, after that vision, and there remained no strength in me. But what do we also learn from this? That is time and again that the Lord needs to awaken also his people to instruct them further. Or from themselves, they do not, then they begin not to seek to the for the Lord, not to ask for the Lord, but that is the Lord is the first one who comes time and again. And so we see that here the Lord comes again to this prophet. He awakes him. Can also be the life of that people. Or they can be so cleaving to the dust. Or some not strange for that people either. Or then they must say, it seems nothing is left in my life. Or when they look back in their life, there has been such a different times. And they had times in their life, or that it seems the Lord was near unto them. Almost every time when they came to church, the Lord was there, visited them. or then they could, as it were, walk with him. But another time can become so dry in their life, so cold. But now the Lord comes again and he awakes them. And so the Lord begins to show him something new. And what was it? What the Lord showed him? The Lord showed him a golden candlestick. It was a special candlestick. And when we read also in this chapter how it was fitted, or we can read it, I will not go into that, but also in a special way it was maintained. It gave light. Or it was also an encouragement also for those who were living there in that Judah, that people who had returned from out of Babylon, who came there in Jerusalem, but now they were so small in themselves. And how must it now ever become right with them? How must it now ever become that they will become a people, a nation again? The Lord says, I will do it, not in a very special way. I will care for them. So the Jewish church, the Lord says, they shall flourish again. And another second temple will be built. Zerubbabel will do that. That temple will be built. And that temple will also be a very special temple, even more glorious than the first one. Because in that second temple, the Lord Jesus Christ himself will come. No, it was not because of the wisdom of Zerubbabel that a temple would come, or that a nation would become flourishing again, but it was by the working of the Spirit. But the Lord was using instruments to that end. And who were those instruments? We know, especially Zerubbabel, Joshua. They have meant so much also for the church in those days. And so it is still also today. The Lord is still using his instruments to build his church, and that our church may shine again. So in God's word, also that church is often resembled by a candlestick. I mentioned already from Revelation that it is said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And do we see them? Christ himself walking in the midst of the candlesticks. And so it is also how Christ himself walked in the midst of the church. It was in the churches of Asia Minor. But the same is also today, where the Lord has placed his candlesticks, that he still walks in the midst, and he will also feed, and he will maintain, and that those candlesticks also may shine. Does never live the fear in the heart that the Lord would remove the candlestick from us. The Lord would be righteous if he would do so. If we see, also in the time in which we live, also that leaving of God, or that turning our backs unto God, or what would the Lord not be tired yet of us and say, now I give you over to yourself. I will leave those candlesticks and I will take them away from them. But now still, that candlestick is in the midst of us. But must that candlestick also not shine? We say the church shine. And then when I speak also of the living church, does the church still shine? Is there still that light going out from that living church too? Also here in Lethbridge, is there still a people that you say, when you see them, that is one of God's people? You can see that. You can notice that when you talk with them, when you see them going, that is one of God's people. Must we not say, also with the prophet of old, where Jeremiah says in Lamentation, the precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pictures? So they have become so conformable also to the world, congregation. And a serious warning lies then in it. How is our life? Also, how is our walk? These lamps in the candlestick were fed, in the tabernacle were fed by the priests. So the Lord maintained, those lamps were maintained by the priests. And I said the Lord is also doing that in using the means. Now this candlestick was also burning, we say, in a very special way. There was no priest around who was pouring oil in that candlestick, and still it was burning. So the Lord was caring for the congregation. But a comforting thought lies also in that. Oh, how it is the Lord who maintained and will preserve that church till the end. Oh, those servants, they have a task. God serves as a task laid upon the shoulders. Or they need to go as a shepherd and a teacher in the midst of the congregation. They must instruct the congregation also in word and sacrament as laid upon them. But that is now also the way in which the Lord comes to feed his church. It's also a task what is laid upon the shoulders of those shepherds and teachers. How did we read that in the form in this afternoon? What did we read close to the end? Love Christ and feed his flock. Now you must say, how can we do that? Oh, from ourselves, so impossible. But what would now wonder if the Lord and also with his secret influences, or with that spirit from on high, would be anointed with that oil, and that then be given, or that then also that bread may be distributed from the pulpit, or in the midst of the congregation, in the preaching of the word, in the teaching of the catechism class, being in your houses, or that that word may go out, and that also may be used for many. Christ walking between the golden candlesticks, and his eyes is upon that. When we read that in Revelation 13, then we read how he was in the midst of them, and there he does three things. What does now Christ do when he walks in the midst of those candlesticks? In the first place, he led that people. He leads them. He instructs them. And he kept them. All three are so necessary. So we read in Deuteronomy, where he says that, speaks about that people. He led them about. He instructed them. And he kept them as the apple of his eyes. So that light of God's word needs to be set forth. And now the psalmist knew that, and we sang that together. Thy light, thy word is as a light upon my feet, and a light upon my pathway. Oh, what do we need? That light of God's word, the light of that gospel must shine forth. So what must not be brought forth? There's that law and gospel, death in Adam and life in Christ. Oh, that is so necessary. And how is now that lost sinner, how can he now be reconciled with that holy and righteous God? How do now those two come together? How can you a black bride, how can it now be said of that she is comely? Oh, black in himself, in herself, but comely when God looks upon them in Christ. Oh, then Christ must be set forth as that only light which came into the world. Christ said himself, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have light of life. So a poor sinner and a rich Christ must be set forth. Now the prophet has seen that. His eyes were directed to it. And does he then understand it? Then he must say, I do not know what I see. I am so ignorant in myself. We hear that he begins to acknowledge his ignorance, because what do we read? What are these, my Lord? A thinking is not so often also in the life of God's servants, when they must bring forth that word. And then in my thoughts I see them sitting in their study, and that open word in front of them. And then they look at that word and say, what is this now? What is now meant with this word? What is now written here? I see those words, but I do not understand that word. What do they now know, need? That light from above, Lord, wilt thou then teach me? Wilt thou then teach me in those secrets of salvation? I do not know it from myself. How must I then declare it to the congregation? Do you also sit sometimes when you were reading God's word, when you study God's word, still do that, congregation? Or when you close the meal time in the morning, in the evening, also in between, that you open that word and then you read. You say, what is now? What is now written here? I do not understand it myself. Oh, that we then also may have that question, what are now these words, my Lord? Do you also hear how tender he speaks, how reverently he speaks to the Lord? I do not know it, my Lord, but wilt thou then teach me? Oh, that we then also may be given, to do that in that way, or when we are in our studies, or that we may ask time and again, Lord, what is now written here? What is now the meaning here? And what is now the message which I must bring forth? So from week to week, congregation, so necessary to be led by that Spirit, that oil of that Spirit is so necessary. But now, what do we see in this portion? That light kept burning. And so the Lord is still, that the light also may burn in our days, notwithstanding the weakness and the unworthiness of the truth of the church. Oh, the church in itself, also God's servants, so unworthy to receive a word from above, but the Lord will still use them, notwithstanding, in spite of their unworthiness, the Lord still will use them. Oh, must that not make us meek and humble, also like this prophet? Now those that are proud of themselves and lean upon unbroken reed of their own understanding, but those who do not know the way, those the Lord will instruct. The poor and needy. How often do we not read that in God's word, that the Lord will look down upon them, or the poor and needy. He will teach them. He will guide them. He will instruct them. We just spoke of that in the consistory room, and we said to each other, what do we now read in God's word? Not a word for those rich young rulers, but that the Lord looks upon those poor and needy people. And on the word, God's word, is full of words for them. In our second thought, I would like to say a few words also of the encouragement to the church. We read in our text, and he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What do we see in this text? That great teacher was not tired to give instruction to this prophet. The word was to Zerubbabel, and in Zerubbabel we see also that word going forth to the church of today. It's not by power, it is not by might, but by my spirit shall it be, saith the Lord. Oh, he says, as it were, church of God, Zerubbabel, be not too discouraged, for that word lies in the hands of the Lord. It is not you in the first place, Zerubbabel, but it is the Lord who will care for his church. Is that not an encouragement also for today? Or when we see what all takes place in the world, when we see what takes place in the church, when we see also in our denomination, what must we say, what must become of us? But now the Lord says, I will do it. It is my case. It is my work to maintain and to preserve that church. It is so clearly explained in the text. Judah could return to the land. Why was that? Because of their military power? No. Because the Lord has influenced that spirit of Cyrus, of that King Cyrus and those who followed him, so that people could return to Israel, to Judah. Oh, then Zerubbabel and Joshua, they were so dependent upon the Lord. We see also a difference in the returning to Judah. When Israel came out of Egypt, then the Lord led them out by a mighty arm, by a strong hand. But now when he led them out of that bondage of being there in Babylon, the Lord led them out, as it were, not by power, not by might, but by the influences of his spirit, so that they let him go, and so they could return to Judah. A lesson also for today. How must now that gospel, that word, be brought? Must that be done with the sword? No, we never do that. It must be in the power of the spirit, as the text says. Was also revealed to the prophet Elijah. Or when he was there up Horeb, then he also has seen it. And we read then there, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit shall it be. What is now this spirit we are spoken of? Who is now this spirit? We may understand by this spirit also the third person in the Trinity. Youth, children, we know of that Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All three have its own place in a divine economy. The Father, speaking in his electing love, the Son in his redeeming love, but now the Spirit in his applying love. So it is that Spirit who begins to work in man's life, some so quietly, some more powerfully. Or the Lord is free, how he begins that work in man's life. Or some, as it were, that arrow goes out right through them, and then begin to cry unto God. Some, the Lord begins so quietly to work in their heart and life. And when you ask them, where did the Lord begin in your life? They cannot say, it was that place and that time. It's not the most important congregation to know where the Lord began in your life. But may I ask you, are there fruits of conversion in your life? Is it visible where the Lord has given that grace in your heart? It's so important that change will come. And when that change comes, there comes also that going lost in self, or that we can not keep our life in our own hands. Or if we are powerfully converted, we cannot. But even when the Lord draws us, as it were, with love unto Himself, then also we begin to lose a life in our own self. We cannot keep that life in our own hand. But then the Lord will bring that to an end. It comes a need of Christ. That is what the Spirit will lead to. He will lead out of that darkness to that marvelous light. He will lead to Christ. So that is that work of the Spirit, so necessary in those days, so necessary also today. Oh, would it be a wonder if that work of the Spirit may be experienced also among us, congregation. Oh, that the Spirit may guide into the truth, that we may explain also that word according to what the Spirit has meant with it, or that we may explain that word and open that word also by His leading. We must continue. The time also goes fast. But the Lord, He says, by that Spirit that He leads His people. So we read also how Christ Himself went in the power of the Spirit. So also Christ was endued by that Spirit. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. So also Christ led by that Spirit, but Christ also promised it to His servants, where He has said it in Acts 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We see also that that power was given of that Spirit to Paul, but not met with that work of the Spirit. But he says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So it is not, is there not also the experiences of God's church? Conversion is still that power of God. It is made from dead alive. Oh, may the Lord then give that time and again, or that it may be experienced also, that power in our midst, that new ones may be born in Zion, and that also God's people may receive a crumb from the Master's table, be led further on the way to eternal life. Or then for this Zerubbabel, or when he saw of that great work what needed to be done, then we see in Zerubbabel, who does not know it from himself, how must now that now ever become right? How must I now begin that work? How must I now do that? Then he sees only a high mountain. A high mountain, he cannot overlook it. And then the Lord comforted him so comfortably. He says, "That great mountain, I will take that away, not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit I will do that. It will become a plain, and that house that will be built, and on that last stone that shall, that had, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it." Oh, may then also those mountains be removed time and again, and may then that also be given new ones, or that will be by those shoutings, grace, grace unto it. Nothing else than grace. A minister cannot convert you, congregation. I cannot convert you. No, not the elders, not the deacons. It's a work of God, but the Lord has used His instruments to that end, and He will use that. And then also is a task as your congregation to come up under that word faithfully. Youth, will you also do that when a catechism class is held? Or will you not leave your place empty, but will you also come then to hear what God has to say unto us? It is the means of salvation which the Lord Himself has instituted. And what will that be if we would have neglected those means? Oh, that we then be given to be faithful. Oh, then that great Zerubbabel, he will go before his servants. He will make those mountains plain. And then the Lord says in Isaiah 40, verse 4 and 5, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Oh, and then to be led by that Spirit, and he will then lead those blind in the way which they have not known. I will lead them to paths that they have not known. I will make darkness to light before them, and the crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and I will not forsake them. Where must we then expect it from, congregation? Not from man. He's only an instrument, but may we then expect it only of that Spirit, whereof we have heard it now and tonight, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. We'll now sing from Psalter 348, the stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. 348, 4. O pray that Zion may be blessed and have abundant peace. 5. I pray the Lord that peace may still within thy walls abound. And also 5. Stanza 6, yea, for the sake of friends and kin, my heart desires thy peace. Let us then sing 348, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. As it is custom, I would like to make a few personal remarks. First, Reverend Verhoef, so to you, thank you also for what you have done also in this afternoon. You are willing to lead the service, the service to the installation and also the ordination service. Also think of the time when we could be together in the school. The first half year when we could still come together, see each other. Later, when it was impossible to be together again. And so, at a distance that we had to do our studies, still it was made in a way the means that we could continue with those studies. First, Brother Slingeland, and the last year also by myself. I may say that the Lord has also given good times together. We could receive these instructions. Then there were also times when the last books came not so much open, especially in the beginning. How when we then had to stay home, and at first hours, and then was the coffee break, came back to the kitchen to my dear wife, and then she often asked, what was the lesson about so far? Yeah, and I could not say an answer to that. I said, we talked. Thank you also for those hours that we could be together, for the instruction. Lord, remember you also in the climbing of the years. So for you, Instructor Ruitenberg, so the lessons which you have given through the years, hope also that the Lord may use that. And I think we have spoken of that also to you at the end. Also the respect which you had for the Word of God and which you try to teach us to read what is written, not to think what is written. May the Lord also remember you, also in the infirmities of life, may He give what is needed, strengthen and uphold you. Also think of our other instructor, Vogelaar, how he has also instructed us from week to week, or from time to time. Also those lessons, also practical lessons, are made under the Lord also use those lessons that we may take that along in the unknown future. And may He also remember you for body and soul, and that He may visit you with His salvation. So when surgery needed to be undergo, may then the Lord give what is needed. Think of the curatorium, how they also have supported us in the years past. May also acknowledge them for that work. Special and great task is laid upon their shoulders when they must do that work in the midst of our denomination, when people come to be heard, but also in guiding the students, how may they also receive much light from above. Brothers in the ministry, the classes, but also in the denomination, may the Lord also give that we may work together, also stand shoulder to shoulder to seek the welfare of the church, above all, the honor of the Lord. May the Lord remember each one of you in the congregation where you placed. Ik denk ook aan de twee dominees die gekomen zijn vanuit Nederland, speciaal ook voor deze gelegenheid, dominee Beens. Voor 6 jaar mocht ik onder uw bediening verkeren. De Heer heeft een band gegeven. De Heer heeft een band gelaten, ook over de jaren. Ook hartelijk bedankt ook zo wat u voor ons gedaan hebt, meegeleefd met ons. En ook dat u hier wou wezen in deze dag. Erg gewaardeerd. En ook u, dominee van Middendorp, waar we samen opgegroeid zijn. Als kleine jongens naast elkaar leefden. Als buurjongens. Nooit kunnen weten dat we elkaar zo hier zouden ontmoeten. De Heer heeft het gegeven, dan moet ik toch zeggen. De wegen des Heren zijn wonderlijke wegen. Kunnen we niet voorberekenen, kunnen we niet naberekenen. Dominee Blok zei dat zo vaak, hè. Ach, dat hij dan ook met u mee mag optrekken. Ook in de helpen in de gemeente die aan u is toevertrouwd. En zo denk ik ook aan de studenten in Nederland. Ik weet dat ze ook meeluisteren. Ook in sommigen hebben we ook ontmoet in de jaren. Ook dat de Heer ook jullie zou willen gedenken, ook willen leiden, ook wil brengen. Tot dat punt dat ook dat wonderlijke ambt op de schouders gelegd mag worden om dan te dienen. Niet in eigen kracht, maar in kracht die de Heer verleent. I would also like to give a special thanks for the host families where I could stay throughout those 4 years. Life as a student is also much traveling bound to. So from congregation to congregation in the last 2 years, but also in the first 2 years. And then to stay with the people. And then they have cared so well for us. And then I cannot say it in words also how I have appreciated the special care you have given to us in giving us the food and drink, but also try to let us feel home in your homes. And what you have done for us is much appreciated. May the Lord also remember you. I would like also to thank all those who have helped in the move. When I was in Grand Rapids, there were many who came out to help, to pack, to load, and also the truck to make it ready. And they were even here also to help here in the parsonage. But also you, congregation, in all what you have done also, preparing the house to make it ready as far as it was possible. It's much appreciated also what you have done for us. In what way you have cared for us also in food and drink, in help, also in carrying the stuff in the house and all what comes with it. It's much appreciated. I'd like also to acknowledge those who has helped making this day possible, also the ladies in the kitchen, organists, users, janitors, all those who have been involved in this day. May the Lord also remember you. Consistory, also may address you. We are not strangers to each other. We have worked together for a number of years. No one of you is strange to me and the other way around neither. Or may then be given that we may seek the welfare of the congregation. That we may stand also shoulder to shoulder and then to serve, not to rule, not to, of course we need to lead also, but that we may be given also to seek above all the honor of the Lord, but also that we may live together in brotherhood. Congregation of Lethbridge, what I said to the consistory also, it concerns also you. We are not strangers to each other. We have been in your midst for a number of years. May then the Lord also give that when there is need, when there are concerns, that you then also may feel free to come to us, also to the parsonage, but that it also may be given, congregation, to be much upon your knees, that you also will pray for a new minister, or that he may be given also to declare the word of God unto you. We need it. Catechism students, I have mentioned you in the sermon already. I will do it again. We hope that we also may meet each other in the future. I'm done to give instructions, so from week to week. May that also be blessed among you. As I said, come up under those means faithfully. I'm also thinking of our school in the midst, our Christian school, teachers, and all who are involved in the work in the school. May the Lord give also that working together. Think also of our friends from Canada, from the US, who may listen along in this day. Lord, also remember you. Think also of the vrienden in Nederland. De Heer mocht ook jullie willen gedenken. Voor zijn lichaam en ziel, tijd en eeuwigheid. Familie, zoals jullie hier mogen zijn. Ook mogen meeluisteren bij de weg van de middelen. Mocht ik de Heer jullie willen gedenken. Het is groot dat we elkaar zo op deze wijze mogen ontmoeten. Ook bij het ouder worden, geliefde ouders. Dat je nog hier zijn mag, ook nog een wonder. Ook onze ouders, hoe niet hier kunnen zijn, ook vanwege leeftijd. Ze mogen nog meeluisteren. Mag ook nog meemaken. Dat het ook in verwondering mag geven. Dat we zo elkaar nog hebben mogen. Broers, zussen, zwagers, schoonzussen. De Heer heeft nog zoveel aan ons gelaten. Dat de Heer dan ook met jullie zou willen optrekken. Ook dat heel groot dat je ook gewillig was om op te komen hier naar Canada. Om zo aanwezig te zijn. Ook gewaardeerd, ook van onze zijde ook. Mag ook wel zeggen namens Nelly. Dear Nelly, ook voor jou. De Heer heeft ons hier samen willen brengen. 13 jaar geleden. De Heer heeft ons geleid. Al die jaren. En zo moesten we ook weer terugkomen naar deze plaats. En dan mag ik zeggen, hartelijk bedankt. Wat je betekend hebt. Ook in de jaren, ook in de studie. Hoe je me ook altijd terzijde gestaan hebt. Vaak is het niet gezien, ook wat een vrouw mag doen, ook voor een student. Congregation. But I said to my wife, I said, often it is not seen from the outside what the wife means also for the student. How he may live along, may also direct, may steer sometimes. Also a student has, that is needed for him. Or that also that may be given also in the time which lies before us, that we may serve in the midst of the congregation. I'm also thinking what Reverend Verhoef said, not only as a wife, but also as a sister. What would that be a wonder? I've mentioned not so long ago in one of the congregations how Reverend Fryer says that once when he was administering the Lord's Supper, then he spoke to the congregation. He was administering the Lord's Supper and then was given for his wife the first time to come to the Lord's Supper. And then he was handing out that bread to the communicants and he came to his wife. And then he said to his wife, "Wife, now you not only my wife, but now you are also my sister." Or would that be a wonder, Nelly? If so also may go through life, that would give such a bond together. Now, some addresses by others will also take place. It will be done in the following way. First, Reverend Van Ruitenburg will speak. After that, Reverend Slingeland. Reverend H. de Leeuw is not possible to come in this evening because of a very serious death in his congregation. He cannot be present. Reverend Adams hopes to speak, and then Reverend van Middendorp and Elder Urkelens. So first, Reverend van Ruitenburg hopes to speak.
Brother, Reverend Clare, three things. In the first place, welcome in the classes Far West. We have classes meetings, we have classes conferences, we have classes youth society meetings. You are also a moderator in different congregations. Welcome, and we hope and trust that we have a good cooperation. Number one. Secondly, this sermon spoke to my heart. Because I was 20 years old, and I came for the first time to the curatorium. Young, and I really thought that the Lord could use me as minister. I was not accepted, went home, and in turmoil, in shock, they did not accept me. Why not? In the Wednesday after that, the chairman of the consistory preached in a neighboring congregation about this text. This is the word of the Lord unto the Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. I was rebuked. That came in my own power. That came in the strength of man. And it had to be broken down. It took 9 years to just break it all down. So that I could not be a minister anymore. And the Lord said, now is the time. May the Lord give us also as ministers time and again that same attitude of, I cannot do it, Lord. I need thy help time and again. In the third place, I thought of the congregation of Lethbridge and the young people, wondering if they understand why you came here, what the purpose is. Children, young people, what is the purpose of having a minister? You say, well, I need conversion. Right. I need forgiveness. Yeah. It needs to the glory of the Lord. That's closer. What is the deepest reason why the Lord has sent ministers? Really. From 2 Thessalonians. It is about the kingdom, about the future. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, again, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. The purpose is that there is a people that will admire the Lord. It's his purpose. He's hoping for and praying for. Because the Lord is not interested in the people that is only saved and forgiven. The Lord wants to be admired, marveled, glorified from the heart. May it also be the purpose of the preaching in your midst. Also, bring it to the Lord. May I belong to that people that admires him. People of the Lord, those moments of admiring him, be so quiet and to gaze at him, to see something of him, that's a foretaste of heaven. And the Lord is really glorified by that. There's a people admiring him. And the Lord smiles upon that people, because that joy is his joy and to his glory. May the Lord bless.
Dear brother, and it is is my privilege on behalf of Classes Midwest and also as a former brother student that I may address you for a moment in this evening. And then it is well known that we are not strangers to one another. It is now more than 11 years ago that we were installed as you as an elder and myself as a deacon. And then a bond was formed, I may believe, that was also strengthened, we may say, in these past 3 years. Also when we were given to be students in the theological school. And that is just a personal word for a few moments. Then we well know there was times that we could encourage one another when we were discouraged. And there was times of impossibilities. But there was also brother times. Yeah, we remember often Monday that question would be asked to each other. Yeah, how was it now yesterday? That also in the midst of the emptiness of self that we were at times both, I may say that, given to testify of that the Lord came over and opened His Word. And dear brother, now you may look back for a moment, and I believe you will also agree when I say that two things remain. And that is, we have not changed. But the Lord also has not changed. And how so often in the midst of deadness and emptiness, how we be wondering then when the Lord again in His faithfulness helped out and through. And then my thoughts went for a moment to what the Lord Jesus said to His disciples. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then I have a very short excerpt of a letter of Reverend John Newton, where he writes to an acquaintance, just a very short portion out of that letter, where one had received that office of ministry. And congregation, that also lays forth what as members for your new minister you may be busy with in the inner chamber as he goes forth to serve you. And then he writes, "I am sure that a minister had need to be such a one, a soldier, a watchman, a shepherd, a husbandman, a builder, a planter, a physician, and a nurse. But let him not be discouraged. He has a wonderful and gracious master who can only give instructions but power, and engages that his grace shall be sufficient at all times and in all circumstances, for those who simply give themselves over to His teaching and service." And it was especially those last words that really struck me in connection with "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then he writes, "For those who simply give themselves over to His teaching and service." And I thought, yeah, brother, was that not most often the strife in the past 4 years? Who simply give themselves over, but how we stand ourselves in the way so often. And then it is my hope also for you that as you may begin your official labors, that you may also be driven out in that way through those exercises time and time again. Unto him who has testified, I will make you. And out of the emptiness of self, the all-sufficiency of him may yet flow forth as that perfect teacher and instructor, that the mountains, as you have said, may become a plain. We welcome you also to Classes Midwest, and we hope that the brotherly bond may also continue. May the Lord remember you together with your wife.
Reverend Glyde, on behalf of the curatorium and also as moderator of this congregation, then we wish you the Lord's indispensable blessing upon your labors. The Lord grant a close life at the throne of grace. The Lord open his precious word, and that on the pulpit continually you may be administered from him who sitteth at the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his prophetical, in his priestly, and his kingly office. The Lord oftentimes bind the urgency of the matter upon the heart, where each time when we stand upon the pulpit before our flock could be the last message that they hear. The following Sabbath day, they can be in eternity. Also, when we consider the seriousness, the solemnity of the times, and alas, who perceives it and takes it to heart, but we hear the footsteps of the coming of the King. And then haste is necessary. May that be experienced continually and urging. No, we cannot convert them, but that oftentimes we may be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people. May it be your delight on the pulpit to exalt that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Savior for the chiefest of sinners, as the way to the Father by the application of the Holy Spirit. We also welcome you to Southern Alberta. You have become my neighbor. Maybe we be given to work together concerning that old truth and the old ways. The Lord grant his blessing.
Geliefde vriend en broeder Kleier.
Beloved friend and brother Kleier.
Wat zijn Gods wegen veel hoger dan onze gedachten.
How much higher are God's ways than our thoughts.
Je hebt het net zelf al aangehaald hoe dat wij elkaar al vele jaren kennen en naast elkaar hebben gewoond.
You mentioned already that for many years we have known each other and lived next to each other.
En wie had toen ooit gedacht dat we hier zouden staan om je toe te spreken, nu je deze dag bevestigd mocht worden tot een dienaar van dat goddelijke woord.
And who could ever have thought that after so many years we could here be together and be given the opportunity to speak unto you now that you have been ordained into this office.
We hebben naast elkaar gewoond. We hebben samen op de belijdeniscategorisatie gezeten bij onze onvergetelijke predikant dominee P. Blok.
We have lived next to each other. We have attended the Confession of Faith Catechism class together with the instruction of our unforgettable minister, Reverend P. Blok.
En dat was ook een dienst waarin hij toen zoveel gezegd en gevraagd heeft. En we hebben het ook wel eens tegen elkaar gezegd. En ik mag het vanavond hier ook nog wel eens zeggen.
It was in a service that was in which he said so many things about the offices. And we have often spoken about that together. About these things that he have mentioned and wished.
Toen heeft hij gevraagd in het gebed tot wel twee keer over. Hij heeft gesproken in de dienst en toen hij ons toesprak. Met een bewogen hart, als uit deze jonge mensen zijn ambten zouden mogen vervuld worden.
He has spoken in that service and mentioned it twice over in his prayer with a very moved heart, whether the Lord would be pleased to use young men out of that group of Confession of Faith students in his offices.
En dan mogen er drie zijn die in dat Koninkrijk Gods mogen arbeiden, waarvan twee als dienaar des woords.
Then there have come three young men from that group of Confession of Faith students that are given to work in the offices in the kingdom of God. Two of them in the ministry of the word and another as elder.
Broeder Kleier, dan zegt Paulus het in de Hebreeënbrief, het vierde hoofdstuk, het twaalfde vers. Want het woord Gods is levendig en krachtig en scherpsnijdender dan enig tweesnijdend scherp zwaard.
Brother Kleier, then we read in the letter of the apostle to the Hebrews that the word of God is quick and that it is sharper than any two-edged sword.
En nu mag je dat woord gaan uitdragen. En dat is het woord Gods. Het is niet het woord van dominee Kleier. Het is niet het woord van de gemeente van Lethbridge. Maar het is het woord Gods.
And now you will be privileged to bring that word. And then it is the word of God, not the word of Reverend Kleier. And not the word that belongs to the congregation of Lethbridge. But it is the word of the living God.
En dan spreekt Paulus ervan dat het levend is en krachtiger en scherpsnijder dan enig tweesnijdend scherp zwaard. En dat wil zeggen dat het woord Gods twee monden is.
And then that text of the apostle speaks about that word, that it is quick, that it is powerful, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, which means that that sword has two mouths.
En dat houdt in, en daar wijzen ook de kanttekenaren op, het is wet en het is evangelie.
That means, and the marginal notes also mention this, that it is law and gospel.
En mocht nu die prediking van wet en evangelie in de gemeente van Lethbridge zijn kracht doen, opdat dat woord levendig en krachtig zou mogen zijn.
And may now that word be used and blessed by the Lord, that preaching of law and gospel here in the congregation of Lethbridge, that the word will prove to be quick and powerful.
En als dan de wet gaat functioneren in het verkondigen van Gods woord, dan zul je in de gemeente van Lethbridge arme zondaren vinden die niet meer weten hoe dat ze bekeerd moeten worden.
And when then the law begins to function in the preaching, you will be privileged to meet sinners in the congregation of Lethbridge who will not know anymore how it must go and how they must be saved.
En dan mag ook dat evangelie gepredikt worden, dat er in de mens geen mogelijkheid van zalig worden is, maar dat het ligt in Jezus Christus en dien gekruisigd.
And then also the preaching of the gospel begins to function. And then you will be enabled to preach that way of salvation is only in Jesus Christ.
En dat die lieve geest des Heren zich dan paren mocht aan dat woord, opdat er vrucht mag zijn op de prediking. En dan zal dominee Kleier de eer niet krijgen, maar dan zal God de eer krijgen.
And if then that word of God will be applied, then those sinners shall be blessed. And Reverend Kleier will not receive the honor, but the honor shall only be for the Lord.
De Heere stel je zo in deze gemeente tot een rijke zegen, dat zij zo.
The Lord may place you and use you in this congregation unto a rich blessing, so be it.
Reverend Kleier, Reverend von Mindendorp has said something of it, but Isaiah says it in the book, in chapter 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. A number of years ago, before my wife and I were married, she had went to the Netherlands to visit some family with her sister. And she stayed by her cousin, family Kleier. And she came home and told me all about her cousin, Nellie. And I said, well, what about her husband? Well, he's very quiet, and he likes to stay in the background. And then the Lord, in his leadings in time, brought you to southern Alberta. And that was not your own way. You have spoken of that in times past. And I remember 5 or 6 years ago, we traveled to a Bible study evening together. And you were, as an elder, to present that evening, and on the way home, you had told me then how you were brought to Lethbridge. And you had said, if you would have said to me 10 years ago, you said to me, that I would be standing in front of 30 people, speaking in the English language, as an elder in a Canadian congregation, I would have told you that was nonsense. But that was Mr. Kleier's reasoning. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And when the Lord says, follow me, then you must go, for it is not in man to direct his steps. But Reverend Kleier, that we hope that you may be given a place in this congregation, and that you may be given to preach the full counsel of the Lord, where God is exalted to the highest and man is abased to the lowest. For congregation of Lethbridge, we have forfeited everything. We truly have. I often, since we have received the knowledge that he was given to accept the call, I often thought of the parable of the fig tree. Just one more time. I'm not a prophet, but that's what came to mind. Oh, what mercies is the Lord bestowing upon us. The Lord does not send angels, no, but he sends a Son of Man. And may we give him and his wife a place in the midst of this congregation. Mrs. Squire, may you too feel the presence of the Lord, and may you be a helpmeet to your husband. I believe it was Reverend Hirschkop who said, "My wife is sometimes my best elder. She could speak the most honestly to me. She knows me every moment of every day." And may you be given that place also to speak and, yeah, to be a true helpmeet for your husband. Reverend Clyer, I hope that you may truly experience the help of the Lord. For you know by experience, and all of God's people know, that without me ye can do nothing, and it is not in man to direct his steps. But when the full counsel of the Lord is preached, then there will come a people who shall come with weeping and with supplication. Then a cry will be born. Then the cry will be born to hear of a way of escape outside of themselves. And may they be given to hear of a poor sinner and a rich Christ. And we know that it will not always be easy. I don't speak of it myself, but we know by testimonies from many others, an impossible task. And it will not be easy. But the psalmist has said it in Psalm 126. And they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Then we know it is not our cause, and it is not our work, but it is the Lord's work. And that he may send a poor Son of Man to come into our midst and bring that full counsel of the Lord. May there be many Aarons and Hurs in the midst of this congregation. May there be many prayers that go up for your minister. For James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. No, it is not because of prayer, but it is upon those prayers which the Lord gives. And may we, as consistory, and as you, Reverend Clyer, be given to serve this congregation and be true servants in all humility and be nothing more than a servant of the Master who reigneth over all things. We'd like to sing then together, congregation, if we may, to our new minister, from Psalter 357, all four stanzas standing. When Zion in her low estate was brought from bondage by the Lord. And what follows in stanzas 1 through 4 of Psalter 357.
Thank you very much for your kind words spoken. And congregation, also thanks for what you have sang. May the Lord graciously fulfill all those wishes. Let us now close this evening with prayer. Almighty and eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, it behooves us to acknowledge Thee for what Thou hast given unto us in this evening, that we could be together with the congregation and many from other places. And Thou hast given that Thy word could be opened for a moment. Will Thou bless it in the midst of the congregation? Or that those mountains may become plain, and that it may be experienced, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He who standeth above all things, he is the Lord of hosts. Ah, may he then also work by his almighty power in the midst of the congregation. And Lord, when thou hast sent thy servants, and when thou sent thy disciples in the midst of the world where they had to go to preach, then thou blew upon them, breathed upon them, and thou hast said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Lord, wilt thou not withhold it from us, but wilt thou go before us, and that we may follow thee. Remember so each one of us, with all those who are dear and near unto us, and those who must travel again in the day of tomorrow, when they hope to go home, wilt thou keep them safe on the unsafe roads? Wilt thou remember us then in the furtherance of this week? Tomorrow in a Dutch service, wilt thou remember and help our brother? And wilt thou give then that the outgoings of this evening may be to thy honor and to thy glory, and to the salvation of sinners? We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll close with the singing of Psalter 421. 421 from Psalm 84, wherein the psalmist also speaks about the love for the house of the Lord. 421, stanza 6, as our closing psalter. O Lord, O God Jehovah, good and kind, on Zion's mount, in clouds enshrined, Thou art our sun and shield forever. To upright souls that seek Thy face, Thou givest glory, truth, and grace. E'en in death fails, Thou failest never. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is he who put his steadfast trust in Thee. From Psalter 421, thereof stanza 6. Now depart in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.